Well, good morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. I need your prayers. The Lord's been talking to me for quite a while now about about the word sincerity and how important it is. I'd like to talk about that this morning by the help of the Lord. And I'd like to start it in 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. This is the story of King Asa. And we know that from the beginning of his kingdom, he set his heart toward God. Set his heart to seek the Lord. And the Lord really blessed Asa. There were several times in Asa's reign that a great multitude came against him. It was during his reign that the largest army that I know of that's recorded in the Bible came against him. 1,000. How many is that? That's 1,000,000, isn't it? The Ethiopians and the Lubims, I believe it was. They came against him with 1,000,000 men. And Asa cried to the Lord. And he said, Lord, the number of people doesn't matter to you. If you're with me, I can do this. And so the Lord met him. And they had the victory. Israel, Judah had the victory. And then a while later, Judah got in trouble again. There was an army that came against him. Well, I think it was he was trying to keep him from building a city. It was Ramah. And so Asa went to another king. I believe it was the king of Syria. And he said, make a league with me. Here's a bunch of the treasures of the house of the Lord. Silver and gold. And he gave it to him, and King of Syria made a league with him, and he accomplished, King Asa accomplished the purpose that he set out to accomplish. He was able to stave off the, and I might be getting this mixed up a little bit because I don't have all of this written down, but I wrote down one scripture. Anyway, the prophet came to him and said, you've done foolishly. You've done foolishly because you have relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord. I think it was King Baasha, wasn't it, that of Israel that tried to stop him from building or tried to stop him from going somewhere or doing something. And King Asa made a league with the king of Syria, and the Lord came to him and basically said, you know what? I had plans for the king of Syria. You were in those plans. I wanted to have some judgment on him. That was what I wanted you to do. You didn't do that. And you know, the reason he didn't do that was because he wasn't in the place where he could hear the voice of the Lord. Or at least he didn't wait for the Lord to speak to him. He went and he made a league and he used the treasures from the house of the Lord. And he said, you've done foolishly. And then he gave him a reprimand that is applicable to every one of us today. He said, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, he said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. To everybody. They look and they find everybody. They look at everybody's heart. You know, the Lord didn't just look at Israel's heart back then. He talked to other people too. There were people that he was able to reach. He had a relationship with Balaam. He reached Rahab. There were people that saw the evidence and saw that there was something higher than themselves. And the Lord responded and rewarded them. He said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from thence thou shalt have wars. You know, I was thinking of a scripture that Jesus when he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, he told the people, he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." He didn't say, "Blessed are they that have been raised in a family and been taught all the right stuff and know all the rules and know all the behavioral techniques and know how to stay out of trouble." He didn't say that. He said, "Blessed are all you've got to do. All you've got to do is have a heart that says, I want to serve the Lord. And it be sincere. And it be with all your heart, a singleness of heart." The Lord talked about that. And I believe there's other scriptures that mention that too. You know, he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When you say, "Well, what if I'm not hungry? What if I'm just not hungry?" Sometimes we bring our children to the table, don't we? And we say, "It's time to eat." And they say, "Well, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry." And a lot of times we figure out that the reason that they're not hungry is because they've got half of a candy bar floating around inside them, or, you know, something like that. They filled up on something before that wasn't good for them, something that maybe they should have waited to have. And so, sometimes it's good. Sometimes children come around at 5 o'clock and say, "Hey, can I have something to eat?" And we say, "No, because we're going to have supper in just a little bit. And if you eat this right now, you'll spoil your supper. And then you won't want the stuff that's good for you." Well, you know that nobody is full, completely full, without God. When Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," he didn't say, "If you happen to be hungry, the Lord's going to fill you." Everybody is born with this God-shaped void in their heart. It's something that only the Lord, you ever heard the song that said, "Only Jesus can satisfy your soul"? Everybody has a void in their heart. People are thirsty. People are hungry. Everybody's hungry. Everybody's thirsty. But the problem is that people in their lives, they do things to try to fill that void, and it never really satisfies. I think about a scripture in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. And he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." This is one of the most beautiful verses to me in the entire Bible, because it's a promise that if I'm hungry and if I'm thirsty and if I turn to the Lord, He's going to fill me up. He's going to give me some really good things. He might not make me rich. I know He's not going to give me a life with no trouble. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." But he said, "Let your soul delight itself in fatness." And you know, the people that he was speaking to were not delighting themselves spiritually in fatness. They were going after things that were like dry, dusty, like cereal without milk or something like that. Think of something that just would be a pain to eat. Something you wouldn't want to have anything to do with. That's what Israel was doing. Jeremiah told the people, he said, "The Lord said, behold, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out broken cisterns which can hold no water." Think about all the things that people do today to try to satisfy themselves. Got to have the latest phone. Some people are all about having the latest phone. Okay? If you have a nice phone, I'm not saying that's wrong. There's sometimes I buy a good phone too, and phone breaks and I need a new one and all that. But some people that it's something that they can't be satisfied unless they have the latest and greatest. And then 6 months later, model 17 or 18 or 22 comes out or whatever, and all of a sudden what they had is not good enough anymore. They got to have the latest one. There's something in there that they're not complete inside. Something that's just gnawing and nagging at them. You're not fulfilled. You're not satisfied. I've got to have this. Some people it's their car. Some people it's a boat. Some people it's fishing and hunting, or you know, that type of stuff, equipment. All of that stuff. Some people it's music. And people fill themselves up. Do you know not all of that stuff is wrong? I love to hunt and I love to fish. Not very good at it, but I love to do those things. I enjoy the outdoors. I love camping. I love going on hikes. I love music. I love to read. I love to learn. But that's not where I get my fulfillment in life. None of it. I appreciate the song we sang earlier. Christ is mine. And I think it's in the third verse. It says, Christ, the source of all my pleasure. And you say, how could you say that? You can have fun doing this and this and this. You know what? The Lord gave us things. What does Scripture say? The Lord gave us richly all things to enjoy. But He gave us those things to enjoy so that in our enjoyment of those things, in a moderation, a limited fashion, we can look and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Lord, you are the one that fills me up. You are the source of all my pleasure. You are the one, if I'm enjoying a bowl of ice cream, we had some ice cream last night. Nothing wrong with having a bowl of ice cream, but if I'm having a bowl of ice cream and it's something that's not in excess or something like that, Lord, thank you for supplying the means to have this ice cream. The Lord didn't want us to just have good things and then go live a life to ourselves. Well, let's see how much I can heap up for myself. That's what the rich man did that Jesus so strongly condemned. He had barns and he had a good crop. Who do you think blessed the man with the good crop? It was the Lord. The Lord blessed the man with a good crop. And it's because that this man, like everybody else, is a steward. He was a steward of the blessings of God. And the Lord gave this man something, and then he had a responsibility. You know, I believe the Lord would have let him keep some of that. But instead, that man, he didn't say, thank you, Lord. He didn't acknowledge God as the one that gave it to him. All he did was, he said, well, let's see how I can, what can I do for myself? What can I do to make myself even more full and everything? You know what? Maybe, I've got this big house. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put I'm just envisioning in my mind. I've got so much now that I can hire a set of bodyguards full time to patrol my property around the perimeter of it. Make sure that I never have any contact with any distasteful person. I'm just speculating, all right? I have no idea what he was planning on doing. But he said, I'm going to get to the place with all of these goods that I'm going to say, soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Don't worry. Not worried about what other people, if they've had a hard year, I'm sorry about their luck. But I've got, the Lord's blessed me. He didn't even acknowledge the Lord, all right? He said, I have soul. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God called him a fool. He said, anybody that is a fool that lays up and is not rich toward God, somebody whose source of fulfillment they try to get it from within. Something that I'm going to heap up for myself, whether it doesn't matter what it is, I'm going to keep it all to myself, and I'm not going. There's not going to be sort of an outflow and a heart of thankfulness and all of that. He said, so is he that layeth up for himself, layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Now, Like to comment a little bit more on Isaiah 55 and the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I've heard the statement made, sincerity alone will not get you to heaven. And you know what? I think I can see kind of the thought behind that. I want to give you a little bit of a different perspective this morning. You know that the Lord is not looking for somebody that's got all their act together. He's not looking for somebody that's got it all figured out. He's not looking for somebody that's got some sort of a heritage that was taught all the rules and all the do's and the don'ts and the balance of everything. He's looking for somebody that has a sincere heart. You know, I would agree if you told me sincerity alone, sincerity will not get you to heaven. I have this to say. If God was not who He is, it wouldn't. If God was not a God, listen, you would never have even the slightest inkling of who God was if the Lord had not chose to reveal Himself to you. God's big enough and powerful enough and wise enough to make Himself totally obscure from people if He wants to do it. But He doesn't want to. The Lord wants to reveal Himself to people. It said that His eyes run to and fro through the whole earth. Why? He's looking for people to reveal Himself to. But it's not because that He hasn't done any of that already. He's looking for people that are honest and sincere with what He's already revealed. The Scripture says the invisible things of God are made manifest by the things which are made. There is so much evidence, and I've mentioned this so many times here and in other places. There is so much evidence for us to believe in God. So much. It's all around us. And there is not just a creator, but there is so much evidence for us to know that God is loving and kind. Paul said to some heathens in the book of Acts, he said that God didn't leave Himself without witness in times past. But He sent us rain from heaven, and He filled our hearts with food and gladness. Why? It's so that people could look at the evidence, and then they had something to do. And that's where sincerity kicks in. People that have a sincere heart are going to respond to those things. And you know, if the Lord sees somebody that's got a heart that's completely sincere, and you can call this by other names, an honest heart, a seeking heart, a somebody that's completely sold out, whatever you want to do, somebody that is completely honest in everything that they do, you know the Lord can do so much with a person like that. Whereas people that may have grown up in a good church all their lives with a godly heritage and they follow the Lord with less than 100% of what they know, and they don't, and they follow Him halfway, but they're more interested in trying to satisfy their own flesh and hungering and thirsting after things that are not righteousness. That's the things that fill them up. That's the things that keep them going. Those people God can't do that much with. He won't. It's sincerity. I cannot stress enough today the importance of having a sincere heart. Because having a sincere heart, people that don't know much at all about God, people that don't know much at all about morals and the value, the laws of God and all that, the Lord, all He needs is a sincere heart, and He will begin to teach people His ways and His precepts. I think, I'll just tell you about my dad's family just a little bit growing up. My dad and his brother, my Uncle Philip, grew up in a home where they were some moral people and everything, but my grandma and my grandpa on my dad's side, my grandpa was not saved most of my dad's growing up life. He did a lot of good things. He tried to be a good dad, and in a lot of ways he was. He taught his boys to work hard. He taught them to be honorable and to be kind and to not be prejudiced and all of those things. He taught them those things. He taught them honesty. But he had quite a temper. And things didn't go his way. Out would come some choice words every now and then. He'd start swearing, and him and Grandma would get in a fight. He'd walk out, slam the door, say, "I'm never coming back." And then half an hour later, he'd come in crying and apologize and all that. That was the kind of home that my dad grew up in, and Uncle Philip. And I'm going to talk this morning a little bit more about Uncle Philip, because he's the one that told me about some of this stuff. And I really, Uncle Philip was... He was one of the mentors and the pillars in my life. And when I'd go to the altar at camp meetings, he'd come and pray with me, and he would come and counsel me. And he was somebody that he was one of the spiritual giants in my life. And this is what he grew up in. And Grandpa would, he wanted to be saved, but he couldn't conquer himself. He did a lot of things that he shouldn't do, and he'd fly off the handle and lose his temper and get in a rage about things. And Grandma had mental instability, and anyway, they grew up. And then even after Grandpa got saved, that was when Dad was about 14, Uncle Philip was about 16, my Grandpa got saved. And even then, they were part of the church that they attended was very legalistic and inconsistent. There were a lot of problems. But my Uncle Philip told me, and I know both him and Dad did this, but my Uncle Philip told me, he said, when I was a boy, I didn't know anything about God hardly. But he said, I knew enough to know that there was a God. I don't remember all the words he told me, but this is the gist of it. He said, I set my heart to seek the Lord. He said, I would spend time seeking God and looking for Him. He said, I would go and I would pray, and I would tell the Lord, Lord, I just want to work for you. I want to do your will. And you know, the Lord led him out of some of those legalistic and inconsistent ways of belief that he was raised and so steeped in. And he raised him, and he taught him, he kept teaching him, he taught him the balance of things. And by the time that I came along, he was one of the most balanced and spiritual people that I ever knew in my life. He was a giant. He was a rock. He was somebody that I could go to. Was he perfect? No, he was not perfect. He had some faults, but he was somebody that I could go to, and he was a stability to my life, and he would give me advice, and he would direct me. And did he make me godly? No, he didn't. Do you know that we can't make anyone godly, but we can be a pillar like that to somebody else? All we can do to the people that are in our life is point them in the right direction. But may the Lord help us to do that. You know, things that are passed down can be good. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. What do you think that means? You know, none of us are perfect. I marvel sometimes that God gave parents the responsibility of children, because we're so imperfect. All of us that are parents are imperfect. But you know what's going to make the difference? And I pray this all the time. Lord, make up my slack. I want my children to know the Lord. I want them to be spiritual and godly. I want them to find the same thing I've found. Lord, would you please, Lord, I'm not perfect, but Lord, I'm going to be as close to you as I can be. And Lord, would you please, whatever slack that I've got, whatever inconsistencies that I'm teaching my children, would you make that up to them? Would you be the stability and the rock to them that you've been to me? You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, have you ever thought about what that means and what that involves? You ever tried to teach your children math? I know there's a lot of people here that are homeschooled, and some are in a private school, but it's all the same concept. You ever try to teach somebody math? How do you teach somebody? How do you teach somebody the way to figure out why 2 plus 2 equals 4? You know that school involves a whole lot more. If you want them to be successful in learning, school involves a whole lot more than just saying, well, it's this because I said so. You know, when children are little, there's a lot of things that we want to tell them because I said so. We need to, because they're not old enough to understand the principle behind it. But you know, when they get older, if just because I said so doesn't last for very long, it's not going to hold them. Just telling them things and not principles is not going to hold them. May the Lord help us where we can teach our children. And I'm not just talking about our children, but people that we deal with. You know that when it says train up a child in the way he should go, you know that part of that involves that we understand the principles we're trying to teach. And the only way that we're going to understand the principles that we're trying to teach is if we get a hold of God and we have a sincere heart. And you know the Lord has promised if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I believe that a prerequisite to that, and I believe I can back this up scripturally, is that we have a sincere heart. If you go to the Lord and you say, I need wisdom, but you're not living for Him like you should, the Lord's not going to give you wisdom, all right? But if we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, and we fall on our face before Him and we say, Lord, I need wisdom in this situation, I believe the Lord is more than happy to help us out and give us answers. I don't know how many times I have been on my knees seeking the Lord, spending some time with the Lord, and I've had this problem. I need an answer. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. This has happened over and over again, and the Lord will give me the answer. While I'm praying, or maybe when I'm done, or sometime, it doesn't have to be while you're praying, but I don't know how many times it has been that way. While I am on my knees praying, the answer will drop right in my mind. And it's perfect. And it works. I had a situation just this week that was very difficult for me, and it was something I had to do, and I didn't know how to do it. And I just asked the Lord, Lord, I've got to go do it. It's something I had to do. I've got to go do this. I've got to do this work, and it's got to be right. And Lord, I just need your wisdom. And He gave it to me. He gave me the answer. He dropped it right into my mind, part of it while I was praying. You know, I'm just thinking, there's a church and Sunday school are great. And I appreciate coming here to worship. And I appreciate the adult Sunday school, and I appreciate the children's Sunday school. But that's not enough for our children and for us, for our children especially. This is part of my burden this morning. It's not enough. Now, this is an extreme, but there's a quote that anybody here that's a Sunday school teacher, don't read into this too much, because I appreciate the children's Sunday school. I appreciate the adult Sunday school. But somebody in another church said a quote that it made me take note. He said, children, our children go face all kinds of influences. They are bombarded with influences. Believe this and believe that. Things that try to influence them. And then they come to Sunday school on Sunday morning and they color a picture of Noah's Ark. How far do you think that's going to... You know, here, I'm thankful that they do more than color a picture of Noah's Ark, all right? So they do a lot more than that. But do you think that just setting aside 2 hours for the Lord on Sunday morning and then everything else, the whole rest of the week, is all about me and what I can do for me and how I can satisfy me and all that? Do you think that that's going to bring our children to where they need to be? Do you think it's going to fulfill us? Do you think it's going to give us the answers in life? No. You know what? There's going to have to be some effort and some time put into this. I've had this, and I wrote this down as a statement several weeks ago, and it's been just going over and over in my head. We have relationships, don't we? Lots of different types. There's a lot of different types of relationships right here that I have with people. I have a relationship with everybody in this building. I know all of y'all. I have different types of relationships. The deepest relationship I have here in this building, or in any building you could put people in, is with my wife. Did you know that the relationship we have with the Lord ought to be deeper than even that? Our relationship with the Lord should be the deepest relationship we have. It should be. I'm thinking about Adam. When he failed, when he did what he did in the Garden of Eden, and Eve, God had a relationship with them, didn't he? And he would come every evening and he would talk to them in the cool of the evening. And when he came one evening and Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit, what did they do? They ran. They hid. Do you know that there are times when we are not what we should be? And in those times, the Lord doesn't want us to run and hide. He wants us to go running to Him. Lord, this is what I did. I failed you. Do you know the Lord will be the one to dust us off and say, I can help you with this. I can give you the grace to not do this again. I can give you the wisdom to understand where you're coming close to doing this again. I can give you the love for this situation, for this individual. I can help you in this. But a lot of times we tend to sweep things under the rug and we go and hide. And we don't really want to talk to God about that. The Lord wants His relationship with us to be the deepest relationship. And you know what? I believe that our relationship with our spouse is designed to help us to understand the relationship between us and God. The Lord works that way in a lot of situations. I just think of in Revelations, I know this, I'm sorry, this is kind of defragmented this morning, but I have a lot on my heart, and I'm not the best speaker, so would you please just bear with me. Revelations 3:20, he said, behold, this is Jesus speaking, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Many times, and I would go farther than that, every time, all that holds a person back from a deep relationship with the Lord is themselves. The people hold themselves back. And I have done it too. Held myself at a distance. Because I had things that I was more interested in. Things that I was more sincere about. Things that were more important to me. And the Lord, you know, when the Lord has a relationship with you and it's a deep relationship, He's not going to take away all the fun stuff. He's not going to do that. The Lord is going to give you a life that you couldn't have dreamed that you would have had. He wants to go in and He wants to do some reconstruction in your heart. He wants to take away some of the things that you've just grown up with and the thought processes and the things that you can't seem to get straight in your life and the things that mess you up time and time again and the things that trip you up. He wants to go through there and begin some reconstruction. And He wants a relationship. You hear the language in Revelation there. He didn't say everybody needs to come and submit to me. You know, we do need to submit to the Lord. But He wants more than that. He wants a one-on-one personal relationship with you, where He wants to tell you things. He wants you to tell Him things. He wants you to tell Him your struggles. He wants you to tell Him your battles. He wants you to tell Him your weaknesses. You know what? He already knows all of those anyway. But He wants you to tell Him because He has some really good things for Him. All He wants is a sincere heart this morning. We had last Sunday a Sunday school lesson about prayer. It's really good. I really appreciated it. I'd like to bring a little bit of that into the message this morning. And I was thinking about one of the things that was mentioned. Or maybe it wasn't mentioned. I don't remember. But we talked a lot about prayer. And I want to ask you something. I was thinking about taking time to pray every day. So let's start like this. Does it matter what time of the day we pray? And I'm talking about, we have different prayers that we make during the day. I mean, we pray for our food. And I'm glad that we do that. Jesus set the example of doing that. Paul did it. He mentioned it in several places. So we do that. You might have a prayer that you pray with your family and, you know, family worship, that type of thing. There might be a prayer that you pray in church. But there is a prayer that you can't pray with anyone else. There are things that you can tell the Lord that are deeper, more private than anyone else. Even your spouse, even your parents, anybody, the closest relationship you can think of, there are things that you cannot say sometimes in front of them. There are things that they don't even understand. God understands those deep things. And He wants you to come to Him with an open heart and pour out. You know, prayer is a whole lot more than just saying some sort of memorized set of words. It's more than going and, well, I got to pray, so let me do that and then I can do this. It's more than that. It's a bearing of our soul before the Lord. It's a communication where I'm opening up a line of communication. And the Lord can talk to us at any time, but it's something that I'm going to come before the Lord with a completely open heart. I'm going to tell Him the deepest, most innermost thoughts of my heart. He already knows them anyway. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to come before Him in sincerity. And part of that means that I am open for whatever He says to me. If He says, child, I would like you to do this, then the yes, Lord, is already there. It's already on my lips. It's something that it's a preparing of our hearts when we go to seek the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to take time to seek the Lord in your life. On a daily basis. I know some days you can't do it as much as others, and there's some days that I have more time than I do others. But I want to read a verse in Psalm 63. It says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, does this verse say that you have to say your daily prayer in the morning? No, I'll just give you the short answer. No, it doesn't. Okay? When it says, early will I seek Thee, it's not saying, well, I got to do it early in the morning, and if I don't get to it early in the morning, well, I missed it. I'll do it tomorrow. No, this is talking about priorities. This is talking about, I have lots of things that I want to do. I have lots of things that are important to me, but we're going to make sure we take care of this one. It's going to be, I'm going to haste to get close to the Lord. I'm going to not put it off, not going to procrastinate, not going to wait until I've got this and this and this taken care of. The Lord is going to be number one in my life. This is part of sincerity. The Lord is going to be number one in my life. And you know, a lot of times that actually does mean start the day off with prayer. I would hate, I'll just tell you, I have a lot of trying situations in my life. And it's not just because, not just who I am. Every one of you do too, I guarantee you. We have situations in our life that we need the grace of God to be that oil and that power that comes, and we can face things with grace and with love and with victory. We can say no to temptation. We can be the light shining that the Lord wants us to be on our job, in the office, in our home, at school, at wherever we are, playing with our other siblings. The Lord wants us to have that power on hand, which is His Spirit. And you know how we get that? We don't get it by just putting the Lord on a shelf and saying, look, if I need something, you come. I need it. Need it right then. No. We seek the Lord. He said, early will I seek thee. You know what that means? That means there's a lot of stuff that I got to do, but I want to make sure that I get this taken care of. There are times when I've had to start the day early. I know my wife has told me, said, I tried to have my morning devotions early in the morning and I fall asleep. You know what? Everybody's made differently. When I wake up in the morning, that's probably the most awake I'm going to be all day. And then I gradually get sleepier as the day goes on. And by the time it's night, I'm just in my chair yawning and all that. And I wouldn't want to try to have my main personal devotions then. And so I do it earlier in the morning. But I will tell you this, you don't know what you're going to face in the day. I would say take some time. Even if you're going to be doing more later, take some time and ask. You know what Jesus did before he picked his 12 disciples? He went into a mountain and prayed all night. Because he needed that. He needed to pray. If Jesus needed to have contact with his heavenly Father, who are we to think that we can just go and we can do stuff and we don't take our time to seek the Lord? Spend time seeking the Lord. That's where we're going to get the power. That's where we're going to get the answers. That's our lifeline. Don't just get up and rush out the door. Seek the Lord. You know, it was in the same family. My Uncle Philip one time asked a great aunt. I've told you a little bit this morning about my dad and Uncle Philip's family that they grew up with. They had a very legalistic and inconsistent set of beliefs about them. My Uncle Philip talked to one of his aunts one time, I think it was his great aunt, and he said, "Aunt, do you ever pray?" And she had a profession. She said, I'm close to the Lord. I'm saved. She said, "No, I never pray. Why should I pray?" And he was like, "Oh, don't you see how important this is? We've got to, if you're going to have any kind of success in life, if you're going to have the Lord, if you want the Lord to show you things, you've got to have some contact with Him. You've got to have some communication with Him. You've got to have some communion with Him. Some back and forth. I've got things to tell the Lord and He's got things to tell me. And it's not just a relationship where I better do everything He says or else, but it's a communion. That's what the Lord wants. A two-way relationship where we commune back and forth. He has things on His heart that He wants to share with us as well. So I just want to encourage you to take time to pray. Maybe we don't know where the time's going to come from. I got in a situation like that a few years ago. In my business, I was trying to grow my business to a certain point. And I got in a situation where I was totally too busy. This was about 4 years ago. And I knew, and I still, I took my worship time, all right? I did take that, and I had that, and I had my private time reading, studying the Bible and all that. But I got to where there were things that I knew the Lord wanted me to do. There was some studying I knew the Lord wanted me to do, and I wasn't doing it. You know why? Because I just didn't have the time. I was trying to fulfill this commitment and that commitment, and I was trying to do all the cover all these jobs and everything. And one day I was praying, and it's like it all came crashing down on top of me, the weight of it. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm in a situation where I'm not taking the time to serve you like I ought to. I know I ought to be helping people more. I know I ought to be doing this and that. And Lord, I know you're still talking to me and you love me, but I'm in a situation I don't have an answer for. Lord," and I told him, if you will find a way for me out of this situation, I will change." You know what happened? That afternoon I broke my arm. Fell out of a swing and broke my arm. That day. And you know what? All of those jobs and commitments, you can't... I work with my hands, so those things didn't get done. And it wouldn't have, and I know the Lord did this for me, because I wouldn't have been able to call up all those people and say, you know, I've decided I don't want to do these anymore. The Lord gave me a way. I called and said, look, I fell nearly 20 feet. I broke my arm. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, we'll find somebody else. And it just worked out, and I was able to, and then while I was down with my broken arm, you know what I did? I restructured my business. I restructured my life. And now I have so much more time to do what the Lord wants me to do. This is where sincerity comes in. You know, I believe the Lord knew that I wanted to serve Him in a greater way. And it was a response. He was calling. He knew I wasn't doing what I should be doing. He knew I didn't have enough time. The Lord will help you and give you an answer. And you know, the broken arm didn't, I mean, it lasted a few months, had a cast on, and it healed up, and I was good to go. But the Lord changed me through that process. And that broken arm is one of the best things that ever happened to me. The Lord knows how to help us and create situations where we can serve Him better. But we've got to be sincere. You know, I believe there's a good chance I would have never broken my arm if I would have just kept right on and felt the voice of the Lord in the back of my mind and just pushed it aside and said, I'm too busy, making good money, this, that, whatever. Whatever your reasoning is, the Lord will talk to you, but your success with the Lord is proportionate upon your level of sincerity. I believe that sincerity will take us a long way this morning. Well, maybe that's enough. I didn't cover nearly all what I feel like the Lord gave me. But I'm going to read one more if you'll give me, or just a couple more if you'll give me just 5 more minutes. Apostle Paul, Philippians 3 and 13. Said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. You know what that word perfect here means? I believe it just means being sincere. A heart that's totally given to God. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. You know, you don't have to worry about what if I don't know this and what if I don't know that. If you are sincere this morning, the Lord will meet you exactly where you're at, no matter where you're at, and He will begin to teach you things. You know, there are people that think that when we get the Holy Spirit, when God begins to talk to us, He's going to lead us into all truth. Well, the Scripture says that, right? Well, He's not going to lead us into all truth at once. And we may die, not we are. We're going to die without knowing everything. What that scripture means is that the Lord is going to make sure that we know what we need to know, when we need to know it, to fulfill our mission in life. Had a grandpa that he thought, he made people always untie the knots from his extension cords because he thought that a knot and extension cord hurt the flow of electricity. It wasn't truth, was it? But did it, you know, I'm guessing he went to his grave. Did that mean he wasn't saved or that he didn't have communion with the Lord? No. No, it didn't mean that. And there's going to be a lot of things that you may have a completely imbalanced or incorrect idea on. But if you have sincerity to the Lord will teach you. Even about spiritual things, there may be things you never grasp and never understand. But the Lord will show you what you need to know. All you've got to do is have a heart to follow after the Lord and seek Him with all your heart. Part of sincerity means, one time, part of sincerity means that I'm going to go looking. If I have an idea, there's something I should be finding. That's what part of sincerity is. One time somebody was doing something, and I said, what does the Lord think about that? And they said, well, I don't know, I'm afraid to ask. That's not, we cannot operate like that, folks. If there's something that we have an idea that maybe there's something I shouldn't be doing here, may the Lord help us. And I know there's a whole other side to it. Scripture calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. And we can get in this loop where the devil is coming to us. What about this? What about this? What about this? As long as we are sincere in serving the Lord, I think we can go ahead and dispel a lot of these nagging things that come, and this and that and what if and all on all this. And we can say, Lord, I'm going to rest in the knowledge that your eyes are over the whole earth, and you're going to show yourself strong in my behalf. This is the last scripture I'm going to leave with you. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Part of being sincere and part of being successful with the Lord is having a confidence that if I do my part, the Lord will do his part. Not going to look other places for fulfillment in my life. Not going to go and fill myself up with all this spiritual junk food, all of the things that people do to try to satisfy themselves. When I pray, I know that the Lord is going to hear me if I'm sincere. And that's the key to it all. You pray for me.